You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What the GOP tax plan means for real estate investors. That's today's episode. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. And Clayton Morris is hoarse.
I'm sick. Would you call?
He's still got a cold.
Why the long face?
So I'm going to do most of the heavy lifting on the show. And for those people who don't like that, that's too bad.
So we should mention that we've been tracking what's going on with the GOP tax plan. Almost 4 weeks now, I've been sick, and it came back. I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. And I went to Scottsdale, spent some time with Tom Wheelwright.
It's all that flying, and you're not taking care of yourself.
I guess. I was eating super healthy and everything. I don't know what happened, but now I'm back
Howard
again.
Howard Stern used to do this little bit about how his mom always blamed him when he got sick. Like, you're with that dog and you're running. Now it's your fault.
It's my fault. All right. So it's my fault. Nevertheless, we've been watching all of the crazy news out of Washington with the biggest tax overhaul in more than 30 years. And just a short time ago, the House version, the reconciliation version of the tax bill has passed. Now, it's not fully passed. The Senate still needs to vote on this. So when you're listening to this episode, the Senate has not officially voted on it yet. But we assume that almost everything that we're talking about today will in fact pass. They have the votes to do it, and the president will sign this into law. We will, however, have a deep dive episode. Tom Wheelwright, one of the smartest tax accountants in the country, I had a meeting with him last week. He is knee deep in all of this stuff. He's working on a book specifically about the changes coming from this tax plan. So Tom will join us on the show. He will deep dive a lot of the different provisions that are inside of this. And so we'll talk about that with him. This is just sort of it's a late breaking piece of news. So if you're listening to this week, we want to dive into some of the details.
Right. Because there are still things that we can do to make sure that we take advantage of our tax rate. Because if this becomes law, it becomes law January 1st, which means that when we file our taxes in April based on our 2017 earnings, we will still be paying taxes based on the old rules, right? But assuming the rules change in just a few weeks, there are things that we can do to make sure that we took advantage of both sets of rules, right? So whether or not this passes, when we read over what this bill entails, what it tells us for certain, what we know whether it passes or not, is that the appetite of the current leadership in Washington is to reward entrepreneurship and investment, not paycheck employees.
Okay, so what does that mean? Well, again, I spent quite a bit of time with Tom Wheelwright this past week, and he wanted to drive home the point that the government in the United States is set up to reward entrepreneurs and business owners who invest. The entire system is built that way. So what does that mean? That means that if you're a paycheck employee, you are not going to reap the same benefits as a business owner who invests and invests in real estate being at the top of this heap. So if you've been listening to us over the past couple of years, then you definitely know we are big advocates of purchasing real estate in a business entity, because then you are not taxed as an individual, you are taxed as a business. Well, what does this tax plan do to businesses?
It rewards businesses, right?
Significantly.
And, you know, one of the main tenets of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what Robert Kiyosaki likes to nail home a lot, is that when the government needs money, where's the lowest hanging fruit? Your paycheck.
Because, where's the easiest place to get it?
Right. Because they already have their hooks in that money. And so they can change the tax rate. They can change interest rates. They can get into your paycheck so much easier than they can money that then you report on a 1099 or money that you get through a business, because that money comes without any taxes associated to it. And then you're on the honor system to report it and pay taxes on that money later. But you also have all kinds of incentives to lower the amount, the total amount that you're taxed on. So again, we don't know all of the specifics, but what we do know is that this is a plan designed to incent the things the government wants you to do, which is increase the infrastructure of our economy by investing in real estate, providing jobs for other people, right? If the government wants... An example that Tom uses, if the government wants you to grow avocados, they're going to give you a tax incentive to grow avocados. The government wants us to invest in real estate, so there's a tax incentive for doing that.
Yeah, the same reason that there's, you know, a low-income tax credit, right? A lot of cities around the country, we used to live in a town called South Orange, New Jersey, and a huge new apartment complex was being erected near the train station. Well, a portion of that, in order for them to get a nice tax abatement from the city or the county, was to include a certain number of those apartments as low-income housing. And guess what? It qualified for a tax abatement. So, you know, everyone likes to wring their hands and say, oh, you know, these big money makers, right? These real estate investors and so forth, they're not paying any taxes. Yeah, but they just built a multi-million-dollar building out of their pocket in order to make this happen. And they're providing housing for people that needed it. And so, yes, there's going to be incentives from the government, state and local and federal level, to be able to build and add to the infrastructure of the United States, because the federal government realized a number of years ago that they are terrible at building housing. We tried all of these projects, right, these government-built projects, and they failed. And they've almost, in all of these cities, torn them down because they were such a problem. Then, you know what? Leave it in the hands of private investors. They can do a much better job.
Right. The stigma attached to even the word, the projects, tells us exactly how those
right.
projects
The government
went.
Did great with those.
So, okay. And, you know, in our town in South Orange, everyone was hoping that that apartment complex would lower our property taxes, because now there's a big new building that will help share the burden of paying the town's taxes. That did not happen. In fact, our taxes went up. So, again, it shows you another direction that the government is looking. They're not looking to help you own your primary home under favorable terms. They're looking to help you invest in the infrastructure of the country for all of us. So I don't want to moralize over whether or not they should, or whether or not this is good for us or good for you or good for the whole world. What I want to do is help us to understand the rules and play by the rules to our best advantage.
Right. And I asked Tom, I said, do you like this tax plan? He said, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like, but there are a few things that I don't like. So,
because his clients are people like us who are willing to invest in real estate, right? So, of course, he's going to like that. If he's a guy who works for H&R Block or whatever, he probably won't like this quite as much. But I think we should talk about the specifics and things that we're going to do, because there's a lot of like bobbing and weaving, right? So in the new tax plan, you will not be able to take a deduction from your federal taxes for what you pay towards your state and property taxes, right? So you pay taxes in your state, you pay taxes as a property owner if you own your primary home, and you take those amount of taxes and deduct it for what you pay to the federal government, your overall federal tax burden. Now that is going to be capped. So if you say pay $50,000 in property taxes and state taxes, you will only be able to deduct $10,000. So one of the things we are going to do, since those rules change, is pay our property taxes and also our state taxes before December 31st, because we still can deduct it from our federal taxes in the new year. Next year, we can't, but we want to be able to deduct that now. So we're gathering together our tickets and trying to get that in the mail post haste.
Right. So as quickly as possible, because our team at ProVision called us, they're like, hey, here's what's about to happen. We'd really like you to be able to pay the state and local taxes right now, your property taxes, ahead of time for this year in 2017, because guess what? This is about to change and be capped at 10,000, and we pay more than that. I mean, we're in New Jersey, so we pay a lot in property taxes.
Right. And so we're, you know, we're trying to put that money in the mail right now. We also are then looking, we don't have to put any property in LLCs because pass-through entities are going to be very favorably looked upon in the new tax bill. And that's something we've told you to do so many times. We've told you so many times, do not own real estate in your own personal name. So you don't do that, right?
No, I hope not. I hope not. But, you know, I have to say a lot of the hand-wringing, if you watch the mainstream media over the past few days.
They're pissed.
Oh, they are pissed because they're interviewing all these congressmen and all these people like – and. Chris Hayes last night on MSNBC, as he was saying goodbye to Bernie Sanders, he said, and Senator, I got to ask you, you don't own any real estate LLCs with real estate in it, ha ha ha, as if that's a bad thing. And Bernie Sanders said, no, Chris, no, I do not. As if, okay, well, that's your own dumb fault. Okay, then you don't. So why are you moralizing about, why are you now making that out to be a bad thing?
Well, it's like, you know,
it's elitist.
Oh, you only invite your rich friends to your birthday party at the country club, right? And so then.
No, it's smart business, but that's an elitist mentality, the way that he was talking to him, as if only Donald Trump style people have LLCs for real estate. There's quite a lot of people who listen to this show who have one or two rental properties and they have them in an LLC and they're hardworking Americans and they're still driving to and from work every day. They're not Warren Buffett tycoons.
Right.
And so I just thought that was elitist and it really bothered me.
I can see that. But I think what they're trying to say is like the average everyday man doesn't get this humongous tax advantage. It's just these upwardly mobile investors, right? So, the investors get, well, yeah, but if you had read the tax code for years before this change, you would know that the tax code is already written that way.
Right. This is what Robert Kiyosaki always talks about and what Tom Wheelwright always talks about and hundreds of other smart investors. The tax code is written to benefit real estate investors and business owners who invest. That's the way the government set up the tax code. So it's not illegal. It's smart business. It's smart investing. And so why wouldn't we have it set up that way? And now, under this new tax law, here's a very specific thing that got put in over the weekend. People are calling it the Corker kickback. Senator Bob Corker, who owns real estate, said that he didn't even know anything about this. And I believe him because this thing sort of got pushed in there at the last moment. But it is a 20% deduction that you will be able to take on your taxes if you have pass-through passive income. So if you own real estate and earn passive income from that real estate, you will now be able to claim on your taxes going forward a 20% deduction of that income.
Yeah,
I mean, so right. So if you make $100,000 from passive income, you'll be able to deduct $20,000 off of your income bottom line. Now, what does that mean for real estate investors? So there's a couple of things, right?
Right.
There's an old rule: buy real estate until you die. If you're just a real estate investor, you don't have a job, right? You don't have a W-2 check, and you're making income from passive income every year from your tenants. You want to buy real estate until you die because the purchase of new real estate offsets the income that you're making from your tenants, right? There was no really other way of making a deduction. Today's episode is brought to you by Fund and Grow. Hey, do you want money to buy a rental property? And how does this sound? Would you like money at 0% interest? Yeah. Well, a lot of our clients have used Fund and Grow to build their rental portfolio. I know I have. I love these guys. And it's super simple to do. What they'll do is they'll set up business credit cards for you. They'll even set up the LLC for you, so you don't even have to worry about that. And then they'll get you 0% interest cards that enable you to pull that cash out of those cards and buy your first rental property. It's super simple to do. They walk you through the entire process. And these guys have figured it out. Their customer service is fantastic. Again, we've had a lot of clients who have used it, getting funding up to $50,000, $80,000, $120,000, $150,000 in funding.
And guess what? You buy a property and then you refinance out of the property and pay back the card. And then you rinse and repeat. And they'll stay with you. The great thing about them is they'll hold your hand through the whole process and they'll stay with you year after year. And they'll re-up the cards every year. So you get 0% interest. So Natalie and I did this. I think we got about 5 or 6 cards. We were able to get $176,000 at 0% interest to enable us to purchase real estate. So many of our clients have used it. We stand by them because we've seen it in the flesh. You can't really beat 0%. I don't know, any way you slice it, especially if you're struggling to put some money together to start investing in real estate for the first time. So here's how you do it. And guess what? They're going to give you $500 off your sign-up fee just by partnering with us. It's super simple to do. If you go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com/funding, morrisinvest.com/funding. You just sign up right there. You'll book a call with them and they'll explain the whole process. But again, you're going to save $500 off of your sign-up fee if you use our website. And by the way, you only pay that fee if they get you the funding. So that's a win-win, right? If they get you the funding, you pay the fee. And if they don't, yeah, then, you know, no harm lost. So to go check them out today, go to our website, morrisinvest.com/funding to sign up for Fund and Grow. Thanks so much for your support, Fund and Grow.
But another way to see this is that, unfortunately, you don't have a paycheck job anymore, because if you still did, this was always like a big point of contention, is because you made too much money in your day job that our real estate investments like didn't really help with that, right? But it let's say you, dear listener, have a pretty high paying day job, and then you also own real estate in a pass-through entity. Well, then you're going to be able to take that deduction on your paycheck, what you pay through your W-2 job, that income that you get, the break from your pass-through entity, applies to your day job as well, which is awesome. So the reason it's called pass-through is because your LLC, like our LLCs, are owned by Clayton and Natalie Morris, right? And so those LLCs, when they're filed with the government, are filed on our personal social security numbers. So if something happened to these companies and the companies didn't pay taxes on their EIN numbers, the government's going to knock on our door because we own them, right? And so that means it passes through our social security number, right? So essentially, we're paying taxes on the EIN number through our social security number. Does that make sense? That's why it's called pass through, because the buck stops here, right? It passes through that income, but it really, like, we report it because we own the LLC.
Right. So the whole big issue, we still don't know the full details of passive loss, passive, and how passive income will fully be affected by this. But I think this provision that was stuck in there over the weekend, my jaw hit the floor. Because in the headline of the New York Times piece, the Wall Street Journal piece, it said real estate investors are going to reap the biggest rewards or benefits from this new tax law. And I couldn't believe it. I said, here you go. Once again, we've known that the government loves real estate investing. We've known that they like businesses who invest in this economy. If you are a paycheck employee, as the way the government sees it, and I heard this repeatedly this past week, you are not really adding to the economy. So if you're a W-2 employee and then you're just living in the house you live in as your primary residence and you don't own a business, you're not really in the economy, so to speak. And it's sad, but the government actually penalizes you the most. So once they want you in the economy, they want you investing in infrastructure and they want you creating jobs. They want you doing that cycle. And those are the ones who are going to be rewarded the most, it looks like, in this tax plan.
Now, some real estate professionals are upset that they think that home values will drop because there's less incentive to buy a house now, right? If there's a cap at what you can deduct from your state and local taxes, well, then people think, well, then people won't want to, you know.
Also, the right? mortgage interest deduction is going to be limited and dropped as well. So that the amount right. you can pay on your mortgage interest deduction for your residence is going to be dropped.
Right. And so there will be some penalty there. But I want to point out that, number one, we don't invest for appreciation. So we don't care a whole lot what the home values are. Once we own them, we care if they're cash flowing. Number two, if the rental market increases, also good for us. We're happy about that. Number three, yes, it may in fact impact the home value of the house that we live in, our primary house, right? But if we don't intend to move, that's not quite such a big deal. So, honey, let's not move while this tax plan is in effect. And also, I forget what the also part was, but I did want to address the effect of primary homes, because that might make you panic a little bit. But hopefully all your eggs are not in that basket. We've talked many times about how if your home is your main asset, that's not a performing asset, right? So hopefully you own more than just your primary home, but more performing assets.
Right. And then, of course, think about using your primary home, though, as a leverage vehicle, getting a home equity line of credit on your primary home. If you live in a home, use that as leverage to be able to purchase real estate.
That's right. Interest rates are dropping, right?
Yeah, interest rates are dropping. Use your home equity line of credit in your home. It's a smart way of using leverage to purchase passive income producing assets. Open a business, which is an LLC. It takes 5 minutes to open up an LLC. Go into business for yourself, become an investor, and this new tax plan will fully give you the benefits that it's meant to give you under this new provision. There are a couple things we don't know yet. There are a couple things that a lot of people are pointing to because of Obamacare, healthcare, et cetera. 13 million will be affected under healthcare. We don't know how that's all going to shake out just yet. That could be problematic or significantly problematic for people. You mentioned the state and local taxes. It looks like it's going to add a huge chunk to the deficit. I don't know how exactly they plan to pay for this, but government never thinks about that. How exactly are they going to pay for these things? What else is going to be subsidizing this?
Right. I don't want it to seem like, oh my gosh, we're so excited. We're rich people that are benefited, because there are so many other consequences for other people, and that's why I really want to be careful to point out that we're not moralizing here. We're just kind of like, holy crap, what do we do now? Like,
right.
let's play the game the best we can, and oh my gosh, hold on tight, everybody.
Well, and this is the bill, right? So we're just speaking, we're explaining the facts about what this bill looks like, and we are real estate investors, and you are listening to a real estate investing show. And therefore, it's our duty to give you the nuts and bolts, the good and bad of what is going to be happening with your companies, with your LLCs, with your investments, and how you can begin to plan for that before the end of the year.
Yeah. So I don't want to be tone deaf, because I understand that there are a lot of people, for instance, maybe you can't pay your state and local taxes before the end of the year. You hadn't anticipated that this would change quite so quickly, right? So,
and we're scrambling. It's like, we're like, okay, can we pull some money out of this account to make this happen?
Right. So thankfully, I front loaded Christmas, because we don't know. We don't have to spend any more money on that. All the presents are wrapped under the tree.
Yeah.
But
so there you go. So that's a quick down and dirty breaking news look at what's going on with the GOP tax bill. Again, just passed in the House after it came out of reconciliation. It's going to go to the Senate. And then guess what? It goes back to the House, right? They have to vote on it again after the Senate votes.
Right. They think there may be some violations that they have to fix. So I guess everyone's scrambling. I don't want to feel any one way about it. All I want to do is figure out what the rules are and navigate the maze the best that I can. And that's our impetus for this show, is helping you do the same. So we love your comments, except when you say that I'm bossy to Clayton. We don't love those comments.
I love those comments.
We delete those comments.
No, we don't. We don't delete any comments. By the way, I love those comments if you think that Natalie's bossy to me. But wait, did we miss the corporate tax rate? The business tax rate?
What do you mean miss it? Like, did we discuss it on this podcast? No.
Well, because that's huge. We got one more caveat here. One more thing to talk about.
I was wrapping it up.
Yeah,
so I know.
But the business, that's huge, right? So the corporate tax rate is going to drop from above 30% down to nearly 20%.
I think it's 21% as it stands now, right? So the individual tax rate will drop to 37%. So if you were at the highest, you're going to save, woohoo, 2%. And then the business income that you, the income that you're reporting on a business will drop down to 20%, 21%.
So what does that mean? So from smart real estate or smart tax accountants who told me this will make America one of the lowest corporate tax rates in the world. What does that mean? That means factories coming back home, Airbus, for instance, considering moving. Once they basically announced that if this happens, because so much of their distribution for Airbus is in the United States, why in the world would they continue to manufacture it in London?
Right.
You know what? Bring a factory back to the United States. Put that back here in the United States. What does that mean? That means jobs. Guess what that means for real estate investors? Renters.
Tenants.
Renters. So, I mean, that's huge. So if America becomes a tax haven, once again, for businesses to move back here instead of having to go to Ireland, like Apple and other and Google and other computer manufacturers had to go, you know, to Ireland in order to save on their taxes, it brings jobs here to the United States in a way that I don't know that we're fully ready to handle. I mean, we literally have like a brain. We don't even have. There's companies that have opened up in North Dakota to build lawnmowers.
I'm not sure you can use the transitive property though to say that. Lower corporate tax means more jobs. There are economists who don't agree with that, but okay. Yeah, I mean,
but we haven't seen it. Frankly,
right.
We haven't seen it. So what are they basing that on? I mean, we see it in other countries. Isn't that enough of a piece of evidence, right? You see Apple moving major parts of their operation to Ireland because
right.
of the lower corporate tax
but
rate.
But you also have to couple that with deregulation. So that's why I'm just saying you can't say if A equals B, then B equals C, and then A equals
True.
C. Right? So that's not – but okay. But yes, that will be more favorable for corporations overall, right? It doesn't necessarily mean more jobs is what I'm saying.
Right. Maybe not. Maybe it'll just be all robots. So we don't know, right?
We don't know, but we do know that if you have a business operating in the United States, you will pay lower taxes. They are hoping then that that means that you invest more inside of our economy. Whether that happens, we will see. But that will affect us, right, as business owners.
Right. So anyway, that's a huge piece of this bill as well. We would be remiss if we didn't mention it. Okay. So we will be all over this tax bill.
Very exciting.
Yeah. This is, I mean... Whoever thought that taxes, I can't believe I'm old enough now. God, I'm old.
That
I
you
think
care about. Well, okay.
I care about taxes.
I've said several times that we're not going to moralize. And then I said that was exciting. But let me tell you what I do think is exciting is because they teach you, the first thing they teach you in business school is that if you're running a business, your first job, like is your number one most important job is to minimize taxation, right? You are supposed to figure out how to pay the lowest amount of taxes. And so that's the part that I said was exciting.
It's
going to
help
you out.
Well,
if you're the person, like you answer to the shareholders, you run the company, this will make your job a little bit easier. You won't have to try so hard to minimize taxation.
Right. And you know, the old rule, if you're a real estate investor and you're paying taxes, you're doing it wrong. So now your taxes are going to be even lower. So you even have less chance of doing it wrong now under this new tax bill.
Right. I mean, I did think about how, okay, pass-through entity, check. Lower corporate rate, check. You couple that with the cost segregation that we talked about that we're going to do last week. Holy cow, like that all sounds super good to me. I want to dance a jig. You know, that's great for me because I followed these rules, right? It wouldn't be so great for me if I was having unfunded health care, right? That's not great. So you take the good with the bad, I suppose.
Isn't that facts of life? You take the good with the bad, facts of life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
There you go.
The facts of life.
I'll get you.
Sign off and I'll just
no, I'm going to get you guys. I'm going
to
save you guys.
To play us out.
I'm going
to
save.
There's a time you got to go.
I'm cutting her off now. If you would like to book a call with our team over at Morris Invest before the end of the year, you're thinking about picking up a rental property before the end of the year, do it now. Jump on the phone. Just go to our website, just our last name, morrisinvest.com. One of our portfolio managers will jump on the phone with you for like 30 minutes, kind of take you through our process, hear what your freedom number is all about. If you want to start building passive income in your life, that's what we do all day long, help people achieve financial freedom. We're going to be all over this tax plan, and we will be back with more episodes here. We hope you have a wonderful holiday if you listen to this a little bit later or a little bit sooner. Have a great holiday, everyone.
The world never
go save yourselves, everyone. Bye.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.